Praise the Lord. So blessed to be back in the temple with His Holy Spirit. Praise His name. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it and deem it a great privilege and a great honor. Lord, we just appreciate Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that follows us and leads us. Lord, we just love and appreciate You tonight, Lord, and we gather here, Lord, in Thy precious holy name this evening. Lord, we ask You to have Your way, all for Your glory and Your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I was thinking that little chorus, Why Shouldn't I Praise the Lord? It's on page 9 on your little books. You've been so good to me. Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord. Went to Jerusalem, our Lord went. There were praises to Him from the people who received the Lord. Him they highly received. But the Pharisees that gathered there said, Make them be still. But Jesus said, The rock would surely cry out, let them say, Amen, hallelujah. Yes. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. Amen. Friend and word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all His mercy to me. We shouldn't sit with our heads hung down. God is with us now, giving strength to the bride each day since the true way she's found. And the manifest is signs of God. This world surely will see. Then the rapture will take her away from death, the last enemy. Amen. Oh, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all His mercy to me. Amen. I was blind and I could not see. Amen. Till His mercy found me. Amen. His grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 5. Amen. Got a river of life. Only by His grace. Amen. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got Thy life abundant. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And make me whole. Give to me that life abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Just love these little songs. It means so much. Amen. There's so such revelation in them. Amen. Page 1 in the same book. I keep coming back. Amen. I think we could all say that, you know?
Amen.
His grace and His mercy is so rich. Amen. Blessed is the fountain in a barren land that satisfies the thirst of the inner man. No better place can be found to dwell. Won't you come to the well? Amen. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Whatever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Amen. Oh, Jesus made a well at Calvary for healing, cleansing, and victory. How its soil flows, no tongue can tell. I thank God for the well. Amen. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Amen. Oh, I keep coming back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God for the well, thank God, hallelujah. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Amen, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Oh, so gracious. Amen. Oh, keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no other word that says it best than grace. Amen. Where would I be without Him? Amen. Brother Sells, would you take up the offering tonight? Amen. No other word can say it best. Grace.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative.
Yes.
Lord, as the brother said, grace, grace, grace. Father, marvelous grace.
Amen.
How we can look in our lives and see your hand. Lord, from birth to now, you
yes.
guide us and keep us, direct us. Lord, we pray, oh God, somehow we can just yield completely to
Amen.
Your purpose. Father, have your way. Bless this part of the service, Lord, the offering. May you just multiply it to meet the needs we ask. Bless those that can give, those that can't, Lord. Just may your will be done in everything
Amen.
We ask. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm than I ever dreamed.
saints. Amen. He is your best friend. Amen. Anyone have a need to take before him this night, knowing he can take care of all situations, all needs? Amen. Just keep it on your hearts. We ask Brother DeLong if you would take the request.
Gracious Lord, we're so grateful and thankful tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Gathered here, Lord, and worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, we realize, Lord, that the more trials and tests and temptations and things that we have, Lord, as we battle, Lord, this great fight of faith on this hour that we're living, Lord, mainly oftentimes realize, Lord, that we have to come back to that well, Lord. Thank God for you said you'd be in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And Lord, we know that whatever the trials of any test of temptation, Lord, we always know that we can look to you, Lord, and that you gave us power, Lord. Thank God that power of your Holy Spirit is within us, Lord. And if we just use it, Lord, we can live for you and do thy will. And we pray tonight for every need here, every hand that was raised, that whatever the need, whether it was a spiritual need or a physical need or a material need, or perhaps it was a need for somebody else, Lord, Lord, we pray, Father, that you just stretch forth your hand to meet the needs. We pray for all thy word upon thy, that thy will be upon thy messenger tonight, Lord, as we speak forth your word. Bring your Holy Spirit, the anointing, Lord, with your word, Lord, and you guide his walk and his thoughts and his thoughts, Lord, and that God, that it be edified in the body of Christ, that we might be strengthened, Lord, by being here tonight,
Amen.
Lord, and hearing your word, Lord, and that God, help us, Lord, to fulfill thy word, Lord, and walk pleasing in your sight. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Amen. Anyone got a song upon their heart? Let's turn to page 7, Capstone Life Tabernacle. Little books. Glorious Church. Amen. Pray we're all in it. Amen.
Do you hear them coming, brother? Thronging up the steeps of life, clad in glorious shining garments. Think about it. Blood-washed garments, pure and white. It is a glorious church. Hallelujah. Amen. The clouds of song.
part of that church. Amen. Amen. And all our brothers and sisters all over this world, wherever they may be. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Sing that little chorus, Footprints of Jesus, as we ask our pastor to come. Footprints of Jesus.
Precious Lord Jesus, again we gather here in your precious name. For in that name, Lord, where two or three are gathered, in their midst you would be. As we've gathered here again, we've come, Lord, with open hearts and trusting everyone that entered in the doors did the same. The Father, their desire is to draw closer to you this evening by the hearing of the Word of God. For faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And Lord, without it, O God, it's impossible to please you. So we ask that you would reveal your word to our hearts, make it more plain. And Father, for something down on the inside that we just haven't recognized, may, as we go through these precious quotes again, the scriptures, may your Holy Spirit enlighten our hearts to it. For Lord, we're truly, as each day goes by and I see the you're appearing, getting closer and closer. I see we need you, Lord. Oh, how we need you. So I pray that you'll open our hearts now, bless us, and help us to all commit ourselves unto you. And again, we give you the glory and the praise for it. In your holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. While you're still standing, turn with me to the book of Acts in the second chapter, if you would, please. Amen. Now you'll have to excuse my shoes. I feel strange wearing these shoes in. I sing old Brother Pitts. I say, he probably really thinks I'm a hillbilly now. Amen. But I mashed my big toe, dropped the clothes dryer on my toe, and mashed it pretty good. So had to have something a little relief there. All right, so Acts the second chapter and 22nd verse. Let's start there. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did not my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Now there's many different messages that can be taken from that scripture, but just for a little starting point, I read this because, well, one thing the Lord laid it on my heart to read with these other scriptures tonight and quote again. And to, again, as Brother Branham said about this quote before, or this scripture, he said, by this, you know, because at that time people was trying to tell him there wasn't a real hell and so forth. He said, by this scripture right here, we know there is a hell. And, you know, it seems that people, how could I say it, get lulled off into something or dulled of realizing that there is truly a hell. And now as I go through these things, I want you to think about the message Sunday morning. And Lord willing, if he tarries and I live, I'd like to go back into it this coming Sunday morning. But again, I want you to think about how the conditions of time we're in, and yet the great requirement or to the bride, the great blessing and promises that he has given to the bride of what she has the right to and what she has been blessed to and blessed with. And yet it seems that with all the requirements of the word, and my, there's so much word that has been given to the bride and those surrounding the bride that gathers into maybe the same building where the bride gathers and so forth. We'll say a little more things about that a little later here. But here through all that, what is the condition of people with this great thing that God has done for people? And this great blessings and this great provision and given her eternal life and all these great things God has done. And yet, again, the condition of the people. Now, we knew that, as he said in the book of Revelation, you know, just to renew our minds back to a little bit, blind, wretched, miserable, naked. But the catching thing of it is, and knew it not. And that's a terrible condition. And it seems that people can get so seared in their thinking of really what wrong is. You know, and it seems like people can do wrong so easily. I mean, that's why you see people in the message do things that they do and dress like they do and talk worldly like they do and use worldly slang and all kinds of things. It just seems like there's no consciousness of wrong. It seems to have been leaving the people to where it doesn't bother them. And it just, you know, it's just the way life is, you know. And they don't think about it. It doesn't even come to mind that it could be what they're doing is wrong. You know, they lose that consciousness of what wrong is. And I believe Apostle Paul put it here in a way that we could truly understand. But before I read that, I want to read this quote again in perfect faith. In paragraph 65, I'll start there. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. He's talking about our Lord Jesus. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? Okay. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, notice what he put there. These signs shall follow them that believe. It makes a lot of difference when a person can just stand there and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. But when he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. My, it changes the whole thing. You know? Because anybody can say they believe. I know a lot of good nominal Christians, they call themselves. People that's in denominations. that'll tell you everything in that Bible. They believe it. They believe it. They believe it. You know? But he said, these signs shall follow them that believe, the true believer. Okay? He had faith in what he was. Now notice what he said there. He had faith in what he was. And again, why did he? Because he fulfilled Scripture to the T. What was spoken him to be and to do. So everything that the word spoke of, he was doing it. It was being fulfilled. So he knew he was the Messiah. He knew, of course, other things too, he knew he was. He was the Son of God. But the thing is, he knew who he was. Okay? This God in flesh, okay? He says here, you have faith in what, he says, and if you're a believer, you have faith in what you are. But what if I ain't fulfilling the word? You know? Am I just going to think that I can retain this in memory and think, oh, I know who I am because the word tells me who I am. And that's the only thing you've got to rely on? That don't work that way. These signs shall follow them that believe. The true believer. Okay? He says, and if you've got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith. We have confidence towards God. If you want to read that, it's found in St. John 3:21. First John 3:21. Notice, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But as long as you're doing things that's wrong, that's what I want to just speak about a little bit tonight. But as long as you're doing things wrong, you can't have confidence towards God. Now how's this work? It works this way because we know what the Word said to do. And then we don't do it. That's how we know it's wrong. We've heard the word say, don't do this, or you should do this, or you should go over here, you should be like this. And then we don't do it. That's when you know you're wrong. Okay? He says you automatically know that you're wrong. Okay? You automatically put yourself back there a sinner by knowing that you're wrong. But when your heart don't condemn you, and you know you're a believer, and there's nothing between you and God, you can ask what you will and know that it'll be given. Now listen. Now again, as I said Sunday, now that's definitely the way I'd want it in my life. You know? That's the way I want it in my life. That if I need something or I want to talk to God about something or something rises up, anything whatsoever, I know that I can talk to him and I know he hears me. And I know he will give me my heart's desire. Wow. But as long as I'm doing things wrong, okay, the word tells me I should be this, I should be that, I should be this, this, that, and the other, and I know I'm not doing it, then I'm condemned. Okay? Now, the bad thing of it is we're living in the last days. Oh, my. Living in a time where Apostle Paul warned us of something that was going to happen in this day. And you can see it happen. 100%. 1 Timothy 4 and the first verse and second. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively. Again, 1 Timothy, 4th chapter. Now notice the Holy Spirit, or in other words, the Spirit of God, is bringing this out expressively. Wants it to be made known. That in the latter times, we're there. Some shall depart. In other words, withdraw or fall away from the faith, giving heed. If you look it up in original Greek, it says, or you attach yourself to it. Yeah. You give into. So let's read it again. Shall depart from the faith, giving heed, or attach themselves to it, to seducing spirits. And seducing is misleading, and the original Greek says, or misleading into error, or deceiving. Okay? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Spirits that will take you away from the Word. Now, how is it going to take you away from the Word, or why would you ever go away from the Word when this spirit seduces you? Because it takes the importance of it away and makes you think it's something else. Think this is okay. Okay? When it isn't okay. But these seducing spirits in these latter days, these last days, is going to be so strong. Those spirits will truly make you think something's all right when it's not. Okay? And doctrines or instructions or teachings of devils, now listen to that, speaking lies, a lie is not truth. Okay? That's what a lie is. It's not truth. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, which is dissimulation, which means to hide under a false appearance. Yeah. To hide under a false appearance. Do you remember how Satan used that serpent with Eve? He made it sound like he gave her a false appearance that this would have to be right because it'd be like God, know both good and evil. Why, Eve thought she was going to climb a little higher. You know, I'm going to know both good and evil. I'm going to know things like God would know. But she wasn't supposed to listen to that. But Satan made it sound like it was the appearance that it's the right thing. And I often think, how many times do we do things that we think by the appearance, by the time Satan gets done talking to us and getting in our conscience, making sound like this is okay to be like this. This is okay to be like that. This is okay if you go do this thing. Nothing wrong with doing it. You ought to do this because this is the thing you ought to do. Yeah. You ought to take this job, or you ought to go do this and buy this car. You ought to go do that. You ought to go to this place and visit. Well, maybe it wasn't the will of the Lord. You see? Maybe it wasn't what God wanted in your heart. But Satan can make it sound so right to you. He can even use the Word to make it sound so right to you. He can take that Word and make it sound like it's just for you, that it's okay for you to do personally, when it wasn't. That's how seducing these devils will be in these last days. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience. Think of that. Having their conscience seared. I preached on this a few years ago, but having their conscience seared. Now think of that. You know? The conscience is, I wrote down, one of the senses of the human spirit. It's distinguishing between what is morally good or bad. Okay? So it's distinguishing what is between what's good and bad. And that conscience gets seared. It gets crusted over. Yeah. So the tenderness of the Holy Spirit can't get in and do the work it needs to do. As with a hot iron. Yeah. It makes a crust. You sisters, I'm sure you've burned a piece of polyester before or something with an iron. And when you do that, it makes it hard and crusty. Yeah. And it seals off. And Paul's telling us about the conscience getting seared to where you really can't distinguish really what is right and what is wrong. And even being in the very presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the Word of God and still have it happen. You ever see somebody do things that You wonder, how could they do that? How could they possibly do that knowing what they know? Huh? You ever know it? You ever see people in the message, how they'll go to maybe a, I call it rock concert, but it's so-called Christian religious concerts and things. And they'll sit there and they'll get all involved in it and everything. And to start with, they'll be there to start with. It shouldn't be. But anyhow, and they'll get all involved in that and get under that spirit of Satan and get mocking God and do all kinds of crazy stuff and under the name of religion. Now, something had seared their conscience. Because anybody born again filled with the Holy Ghost would never even think about going there. No. Yeah. They don't like listening to half that junk even if it's on the radio. They just can't stand it when it gets all jazzed up and disrespectful, and they just can't stand it. There's something about it that just makes them clear sick. They can't handle it, you know? But when people like those things, their consciences become seared. As in anything, when you can't distinguish between right and wrong. Now, we used to live under a kind of a rule of thumb before, and we used to see people, I've spoken about it before, but we used to see people go ask the preacher everything they go to do because they didn't know what was right and wrong. And if they did think maybe it'd be right, they was afraid they'd get in trouble, so they still wouldn't go ask. So the preacher would say, okay, it's okay, you do this. Now the next one comes along, he might tell them, no, I didn't say that, and it's not right. You know? And it's just a house full of confusion because people are not being filled with the Holy Ghost. So a leading to put people in a condition that they're conscience becomes seared. Yeah. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. They can't even make the right decision. And oftentimes they'll make a decision and it'll be wrong because their conscience has become so seared. There's no more of that tenderizing the Holy Spirit there. It'll still a small voice speak into your heart and say, don't do that. Don't do that. You better stay away from that. There's something wrong here. Back off. They become seared. And their conscience is hard. And it doesn't bother them anymore. So they can do things and it doesn't bother them. I could spend a lot of time right here tonight and maybe bringing up some things that people sitting right here don't think's wrong. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. I hope you've got enough Holy Ghost in you that if you find that short place in your heart, you're man enough and woman enough to get your life right with Christ. Otherwise, you're going to go on with the rest of the place I'm going to read here in a little bit. You know, I've never seen God play games. Never in my life. When he speaks something, that's the way it is. It don't make no difference whether all the generations before and after and everything takes his word so lightly and don't care. He still keeps everything he says, and he means it. But the human race becomes so silly and foolish, and Satan's civilization gears people for that, to be silly and jokesters and cut-ups and get into this and get that, just to make them a bunch of fools, you know. Satan's idea of doing it. But one thing about it, God don't tolerate none of that nonsense. That's why he placed a part of himself in those individuals. See? So they would know. So speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Think of that. Matthew 7th chapter. I'll begin here 21st verse. Just something short this evening. Just kind of keep you in line for something on Sunday. I say, now, I don't know about you, but I want all the promises of God effective in my life. Yes. That's all on condition. All on condition. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day. Now, you see, they couldn't have had their conscience seared if they do everything he says. But if it's seared, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Again, what is iniquity? You know what was right to do and don't do it. Okay? And as I said in a few messages before, recently, if there's ever a people that knows what's right and what's wrong, it's a people that's set under this message. Yeah. That's the ones that know what's right, what's wrong. Without a doubt. Now, God has given us something that if we can approach Him without condemnation, without our hearts being condemned, well, it's unlimited to what God can do for you. Yes. But if our hearts condemn us, we're stuck. But look what all the word we have of what we know to do, what's right. Even how we should talk. Even our thoughts. Where we go. The decisions in life we make. Does it make me break the word of God on a decision I make? You know? He says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, his word, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Something solid. Something that Satan couldn't sear your conscience with. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Didn't just fall off kilter and start leaning, but great was the fall of it. You see? Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now think of that. Now remember, people's conscience becomes so seared that they don't even know right from wrong anymore. And they can make decisions and do the wrong. Oh well. So what? It's not even thought of. Because the conscience is so seared. When they should be very tender and watching carefully every step that they take, that it pleases the Lord. You know? But it gets to the point, as the prophet spoke of in the church age book, they lose that first love. Remember I was talking about in the church age book, reading it? Huh? But may we always have a fervent desire to please God. A passion to know His Word. A cry to reach out in the Spirit. But it all began to fade a long time ago. And oh, how it has faded in this last days. So greatly. If people today only had the enthusiasm and had the Word that we've got today, the enthusiasm they had in Pentecost and have the Word that they got, my, what people would be today, so much closer to God. Yeah. But they've lost that. It seems to become just a thing. It's a grudge. To have to get up in the morning and serve God. Yes, Lord, I'll know. I want to read your word because you want me to read your word. You know, it's necessary. I read your word or listen to your word, but it's just a grudge. To have to force your way to try to make it through another day and try to keep from doing something wrong. Instead of a love of your heart, wanting to do everything that pleases Him. A real love. It's hard to find it anymore. Because people's minds have become so, their conscience is so seared. They can't even figure out what's right and wrong anymore. No. They can't figure out it's wrong to cheat somebody. Yeah. They can't figure out it's wrong to speed down the highway. They can't figure it out. It's wrong. You know? It doesn't register. It's not there. Because their conscience is so seared. These young ladies in this message getting married, one right after another, bang, 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 bang. Their conscience so seared oftentimes. They'll choose a man regardless of what he is, just he's a man. Instead of doing it what the Word said do. Same way with a man. He'll choose a wife regardless of what she is. Instead of choosing it the way the Word says to do it. Yeah. Because they're so seared and their conscience has become so seared. Character? What's character? Love God with all their heart? What's that? Why would I want a man that loves God with all his heart? I just need a man. I want to get married. I want to live on my own with a husband. Have children and babies. Seared. So seared. Your conscience is bound by sin. Someone to grow up and be new movie stars, actors. Seared. As with a hot iron. Yeah. Men want jobs. Friends, believe it. 20, 30 years ago, I seen. At that time, was brothers in the church that wanted jobs so they wouldn't be there. The church. They wanted them. They desired it. The less they was there, the happier they was. It was. Their conscience was seared, friends. Seared as with a hot iron. People make all kinds of decisions constantly showing they're seared. Their conscience is, friend. They ain't getting it. When God speaks something, if He squeaks something, it should be their greatest command. People have lost that. It's just the Word. Just the Word. And this whole nation has turned into that with everything they do. Their jobs, their families, how they do things. It's just this, it's just that. So what? People have to put up with me regardless. I don't care what they think, you know, this, that, and the other. Attitudes, it's unreal. Craziness, insanity. I've seen it several times this week. I think, you know, here you see people in the afternoon and it's 85 degrees wearing shorts and a hot hoodie sweater on. Talk about crazy. Their minds is gone, friends. Totally gone. This world has become so sick, friends. And if we're not careful, these seducing spirits is going to take us right into it. And you won't even realize what's wrong and what is wrong. And you'll think it's right. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There is a hell, friends. After judgment, there's a hell. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Luke 13. I'll try to hurry up. Time's quickly going by. Luke 13 chapter, just quickly going there, 23rd verse. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at that straight gate. We spoke out there the other night. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut, to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Wow. Look how people eat and drink this word in his presence. And thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You didn't do good, and you didn't do it. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first. And there are first which shall be last. Which is another message, but we won't go into all that. Let's read one more. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. 2 Peter and 2nd chapter. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, 20th verse. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How many have escaped the pollutions of the world through Jesus Christ? I have, by His grace. They are again entangled therein and overcome. Is that what you're going to let happen? The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Wow. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Wow. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. My, it had been better not to know anything about it than to let seducing spirits turn us back to these things that are wrong. Iniquity. These seducing spirits that will sear the conscience, that you cannot distinguish between right and wrong. Maybe a time when you first come to the Lord and my ears excited and you wanted to start being so careful what you've done. Why, you wouldn't stand there and listen to a man's filthy joke for nothing. You'd have walked away. And now you'll stand there and listen to it. And he hauled right along with him. Yeah. Oh my. But once upon a time, he had never tolerated that. Once upon a time, you would have never tolerated some of this like stuff on Facebook. You never would have tolerated it. But by our conscience being seared, like it and become a part of their sin. Become a part with that group. As the minute you hit that like, seared. Conscience seared. Yeah. Friends, where are we going to be when that last trumpet sounds? And those sleeping saints arise and come to us. Where will you be? Will you be one that your conscience has become seared, that you cannot recognize right from wrong? All you're interested in is just do it, because the flesh is drawn for it. And you'll even maybe read that word until you find a spot. Oh, see, that's okay. But you didn't realize you twisted it around. You didn't realize it because your conscience becomes seared. You see? I'm just trying to prepare you for what's coming, saints. God has a blessed place for the true believer. The true believer. When he said, ask whatsoever you desire, did he give it to you? He ain't lying. He's telling the exact truth. Yes. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and doubt it not. He don't lie. There's a lot of mountains in life. It may not be a hill with trees on it, but there's a lot of mountains in life that God's weren't able to move. But you think he's going to move it for people that's in iniquity? I just took a few short things. If I can prove a lot of them to you, it won't happen to those that's in iniquity. When you know you're due to do right, and you know what it is to do right, and you don't do it. To that kind of people, what I bring Sunday will never mean nothing to you. You're exempt from it. It's a sad way to have to put it, but it's the truth. You're exempt. The only way you're a part of it, and it belongs to you, and you belong to it, is if you know you're that genuine believer, and these signs will follow you. Then you know it's for you. But as long as you do anything wrong and keep doing that same thing wrong, especially, you condemn yourself. And if you keep on doing it, it's iniquity. And just keep on doing it, keep doing it. If you're the type of person, just everybody just says a lethal thing and you get your feelings hurt, you've done it for years, and you'll do it until the day you're laying in that casket and it's done over with, I'm going to tell you, friends, that's iniquity. You knew what was good and what was right. Even the prophet said, that Holy Ghost is not easily offended. No, it ain't. But we get so easily offended because somebody squeaks at me. And I think everybody's against me. I think everybody's talking about me. I think everybody's got something against me. You worker of iniquity. You know what it's supposed to be. You know exactly what it's supposed to be. And you think you're going to get things from God? Going to happen, friends. No. I trust we're seeing a little more serious, friends. How we should be a people that's on fire to do everything exactly the way God wants it done. Exactly. My. It should be the theme of our life. The principal theme. The principal theme of our life. Our first love. It should be, everything about us should be all centered upon this, the Word of God. Yeah. But people's minds are becoming seared, their conscience is getting seared. And they don't know what's right anymore. And it doesn't bother them anymore. Yeah. But let something happen and watch that pop back in your mind. When you really need something from God, and then see what happens. You say, I'm a sinner. Yep, you're a sinner. You put yourself right back there automatically. Yeah. That the promises don't belong to. You see. The promises belong to those that have that token. Isn't that what the prophet said in the message token? If you don't remember, read it again. The promises belong to those with that token. You see? So, saints, think about these things. I'm talking to everybody in here, friends. I want these young people to listen to this. I want you old people to listen to this. Middle-aged listen to this. Me listen to this. Every one of us. There's not a one of us exempt from listening to this and making sure it's the way God wants it to be. Because I'm going to tell you what, and just maybe a childish way of saying it, you're going to be sorry one of these days. You'll be sorry that you didn't listen to these things and apply it to your life. And then you're condemned. And you keep doing things that you shouldn't do, and you know that's wrong, and you'll do it anyway. You'll make decisions in life and go places you should never be. No. You'll talk to people about things that you should never talk about. No. Remember, He knows all about you. He knows your thoughts. He searcheth the reins even, the thoughts. He knows all about us, you see, and you can't hide anything from Him. So may the Lord Jesus help each and every one of us as we prepare for this last few days before His appearing. Remember, there can't be any doubt, friends. None whatsoever. And how you should desire to see these things fulfilled, these promises fulfilled in your life. You should desire to see that. As I said, son, you should want to see Him glorified. If you've got something, an opportunity in your life that God can glorify, that He's this or that, a provider, whatever, healer, then you should be, Lord, open the door, open my heart, whatever it is, Lord, fulfill Thy word in my life. Yes, I want Him to be glorified. I want people to know He is Jehovah Jireh. Yes, He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. People know. Did not the prophet say himself, we're here to declare to this nation, this people, that Jesus Christ is alive? They don't know it. It's just talking about Him. How are they going to know it's just talking about Him? But if they see something God does, they know He's alive. Amen? If you can't see it that way, I'm sorry. I hope you read enough to where you start seeing it. But how else is He going to be known that He's alive? Him manifesting. Him bringing bodies under subjection to His word. Living by the word. Staying truly to that word. Though abstain from the very appearance of evil, friends. Yeah. He said it. That's the way it is. Though abstain from the very appearance of evil. Yeah. But Brother Steve, I'd about have to quit doing this, that, and the other. Well, what's the Holy Ghost trying to show you? Is this something that would bring a reproach on the body of Christ? And get away from it. Abstain from the very appearance of it. You see? Oh my. Saints, may God help us all. I'm really concerned. I really am. I am very concerned for every last one in here. Every last one of you. I want to make sure everything's exactly what God wants it to be. Everything. Why don't you sisters come in, instruments, please. Amen. I love His word, saints. And like I say, you don't have to stay here. By no means. You don't have to. But I can only do as the Lord lays upon my heart. But I feel such a pressure in my heart to get people ready. Get them ready. Something's going to happen, friends. I'm telling you, so many people, it's not getting ready. It's just not happening. It's just like they're satisfied to call themselves believers. They're satisfied because they can say they follow the message. There's a whole lot more to it than just following it, friends. They're saying you follow it. There's more than saying you're a Christian. It's what Jesus Christ does through us is what proves who we are, you see. Are we the overcomers? Do we overcome or are we in iniquity? Just over and over and over and over and over, doing everything just constantly wrong, 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 wrong. Iniquity. We know what's right, but we just keep on doing it wrong. Is that our life story? Or are we overcomers? You see? Amen. I hope you'll be able to stay with me. Amen. I hope you do. But I told my wife something this afternoon. And it'll happen. It'll happen. The word never fails. But you better make sure you're one of them. You better make sure. How would the prophet be preaching right now if he was still living? When things are so much more sicker and sinful than it was then. What do you think he'd be preaching now, friends? You think he'd have very many followers now? Oh. It kept getting less and less and less and less. And anybody that stays with this word 100%, you ain't going to have a big following. Now, you might let them seducing spirits use you and get this, people believe this, this, that, and the other. And you might have all kinds of following, friend. Oh, yeah. But if you take the way of the Lord to despise few, it's going to be just a few. People that really love the Word, love the Lord, and they want it to live through their life. Yes, they want it to take over their life completely. Oh, my. But you have people today who even say, I ain't got Facebook, and lie right to your face and still have it. Their conscience is seared because they're afraid I'm going to think bad about them, because I don't care if people's got Facebook. It's what you do with it. It's how you handle it, you know? That's my feeling about it. I don't have it, but I wouldn't have it, but I'm just saying, I'm not condemning you if you got it. But I'm just telling you, why lie to my face about it? You afraid I'm going to say something to your face about it? I'm not going to say nothing to you. But if you lie to my face about it, what do you think you're going to be before God, and what you're going to look up and like and put on with that? If you lie to me about it. My saints. Terrible day we live in. Ananias and Sapphira. You think it won't happen today? Yes, it happened today. People are lying today thinking they're hiding things. You ain't hiding nothing. God knows everything. People don't drop dead physically today. But my, what can happen spiritually? Yes. Seared. Seared. Doesn't bother. And we'll sit there and read every day out of the Bible. Read every day or listen to the prophet's messages. Every day. And seared. Be right in the presence of God. And become seared. Those seducing spirits. Devils. Listen to it. Convincing them. It's okay. Your pastor's nuts. He's getting fanatic. He's crazy. Don't you worry about him. Brother Branham said it's right. You twist it around. You let them devils twist around what the prophet said. Yeah. Oh, my. I love him, friends. And I mean it from the depth of my heart. I want him to be everything in my life. And I want him to express through this tabernacle flesh, because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Oh, hallelujah. God, help us. Let us all stand. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord Jesus, as we come to the close of another little service, you already knew what would be read tonight and spoke about tonight. Before the world was ever formed, before there was any trees or grass and lakes and rivers and oceans, you knew exactly what would be said. And how, Lord, when you laid those things upon Apostle Paul's heart that in the latter times, they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And their conscience becomes seared. You had already seen what was going to happen, Lord. That's why Paul spoke it. That's why he wrote it. But Father, I trust that we will take your word and take you at your word, whatever it is. The Lord, to understand, to know that you don't speak things and to just be going out void. But there's a reality to everything you've said and wrote and spoke on and have done. There's a reality. And help us, Lord, to be that people that'll believe everything you say and not let those seducing spirits take the value of it away from us to make it become unimportant. For, Lord, we begin to do things like the world and act like the world and think like the world and think we have rights like the people of this country and so forth. But, Lord Jesus, help us to be humble, obedient servants and be sons and daughters, Lord, that you can express through and live through and declare to this nation that you are alive. Grant that, Lord Jesus. Help us now. Help each one of us to have a desire, and if we don't have it, oh God, fill us with it. The Lord will be just what you want us to be. We pray now thy will be done. Watch over us and guide us and keep us safe again. And again, Lord, brother and sister driving that far, just keep them safe and watch over them, protect them. The Lord, how we know Satan would love to try to destroy any of us. And we realize we all live by your grace and mercy. So we pray now, thy will be done. Watch over us and guide us. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, Longing for Jesus. Amen. Longing, longing for Jesus. Jesus richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Praise his name.